Welcome to Jumpstart Weekly, the manga podcast where every week we read every chapter of Shonen Jump on Viz's website, as well as another collected volume of manga. I'm your host, Jeremy.
And I'm your host, Kevin.
And this week we read iShield 21, Volume 2, which is not on Jump like I thought it was.
Nope.
And also was I could not get a copy of until November, so I read a very interesting translation of it.
Gotcha.
It had some of my favorite translator's notes of all time. Like, I think this is what it says. I really don't know much about American football. It was my favorite one.
That's pretty good.
Before that, though, we have Shonen Jump. Big Shonen Jump this week with 21 whole series. Mm-hmm. What did you think of Shonen Jump, Kevin?
I liked a lot of it.
Yeah, I would say generally my feelings on Shonen Jump are very positive this week. We will start with what I think is the last brand new series we're going to have for a while. Hakutaku Chapter 1, From the Beginning. What did you think of this, Kevin?
I thought it was pretty interesting. I kind of like the whole story of, you know, hey, this is the moment that, like, it's the, you know, this is the moment that this guy became a game dev, which I thought was pretty interesting to see. Rather than, like, starting with that, they ended with that, which I think was nice because we just saw the main character kind of just, oh, what if we added these rules to, like, what could we add, what rules could we add to soccer to make it more interesting? Or, you know, like, oh, what could I do to this to make it more interesting? And I like that the other, I'm assuming he's also a game dev, who finally shows up to class is like, hey, this guy's been gamifying everything, including getting bullied. Hot damn.
I really like this. This is by far my favorite first chapter of any of the new series we've gotten so far.
Yeah, fair.
It has a lot of one-shot vibes for the reasons you're talking about.
Yes, it does.
But a lot of first chapters have those, and you can see how this will continue. So I hope it keeps it up. Because of those one-shot vibes, I think this is the series in the most danger of falling off a cliff, despite it being my favorite of the three. I hope that doesn't happen.
There's honestly the secret horror of, I really like this thing. That means it's going to suck. Or not that it's going to suck. It's like, I really like this thing, which means no one else will.
That's how I feel about Himeken right now. But not so much this. I mean, there's definitely a risk. This is not typical shonen manga stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it's my favorite of the three, like I said, which are also way more typical.
Yes.
Anything else you want to say about it?
Nope.
Next, we have Jujutsu Kaisen Chapter 270, The End of the Dream, which isn't as, like, what is this as last week's was?
No.
But it continues that vibe, for sure.
Yep. It's is this really how it's going to end?
I mean, I can see the appeal in ending on, like, a regular mission in the same... I mean, the first chapter doesn't start that way, but in the same way that the first story that we have the three characters kind of did, I see the appeal in closing in that way, the same way we opened.
Yeah.
But it is a weird vibe. It also seems like, Kevin, do you know what happened with the culling game in the end? Because I feel like they tried to explain it in this chapter.
And I thought they ended it, but I guess they didn't, and it's still just, like, sort of going on still?
I didn't think they ended it either, because they were in the middle of it, and they're like, okay, but we're going to have Sukuna 1v1 Gojo in a month. And I'm like, okay, it's like 1 month later, 1v1 time. I was like, okay, I guess, like, there's no reason the game couldn't last a month, so I guess we just want to skip to the exciting part. That's not what I expected, but okay, here we are, and now the series is over. And it's probably the biggest of those many, many things. I was like, I get that this is like the ultimate conflict, and I don't really know where you go after the Sukuna fight, especially with the main villain being dead.
Correct.
Elsewhere by a random character who just got introduced. But I was expecting another arc because of all this stuff that was set up. Same with the Americans who showed up. I was expecting that to mean something.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of like, yeah, those Americans are going to have to get dealt with at some point, but we don't care about that anymore.
Yep. That's for another series that I may or may not get greenlit for. Yeah, they definitely, that had a lot of vibes, and I would agree with you, I think it would have been stronger to end with them, like, not if this chapter was the last one, but if that bit of, oh, we've got to go on another mission was, like, the last bit, you know what I mean? Like,
I suspect we're going to get the next mission, and that's going to be the end of, and kind of, like, dovetail into epilogue. Is kind of what I think they're setting up.
I think so.
I see structurally why you want to do that.
I do, but I kind of like the idea of ending on, well, hey, we still got shit to do. Kind of, you know what I mean? Like, we will still be.
The adventure continues.
The adventure continues kind of thing, but you can't. I don't want the adventure continues then to see that continued adventure. Like, I don't want to see part of that continued adventure. I'm like, no, why am I not? Like, I'm fine with, all right, and then we go off on another mission that I don't know what it is. Not, all right, we're going to see this part of the mission, maybe conclude it really fast, and be like, why did I need that as a chapter?
We'll see how it actually ends. But yeah, Jujutsu Kaisen's ending weird, bro.
Yep.
Next up, we have One Piece, chapter 1127, Adventure in the Land of Mystery. What did you think of what I think is going to go down as the first chapter of the Elbath arc, Kevin?
I really liked it. I was kind of laughing with Nami waking up and being like, you know, Luffy, Sanji, Zoro, hell, even take Usopp. And then she hears Usopp. She's like, Usopp. And she like leans out the window and he's like, Nami, save me. You're supposed to save me, idiot.
Yeah, I also really like that we get this super slow classic One Piece chapter to start this arc. Some people are kind of down on how slow it was. My only complaint about it is that we're not getting a chapter next week, and it sucks to have a slow chapter into no chapter, but that doesn't actually make this chapter bad or worse.
No, because that, not that we can take anything in a vacuum, but like that's fine. You know, the fact that there isn't a chapter next week doesn't affect how this chapter was.
Yeah, it just makes the pace feel even slower.
It does.
But the point, or I think, I shouldn't say the point, the main advantage I think you have of letting the Straw Hats up is you get more character moments.
Mm-hmm.
And this chapter is kind of all character moments. And in many ways, it's stuff we've seen before.
Yeah.
But it's stuff I'm happy to see.
I like Viking Luffy. That's a good look.
Yeah, all the looks are pretty good. They're all very Viking.
Yes.
Inspired. Did you notice anything odd about the art this week?
I guess not specifically.
There are a lot of people, and I don't really subscribe to this theory, but I get why it is popular. Because they keep mentioning the absinthe and how it causes hallucinations, there are a lot of people who think this chapter is all Nami hallucinating. Based on some weirdness in the art that is not like incomplete, but there's a wide shot of Luffy's Viking costume where he clearly has a sword. And then a close-up where it looks like he has an axe, where that sword is.
Okay.
And then when, like, we get the close-up on Sanji where he's doing Diable Jumble, his right foot is on fire. But then in the wide shot, he is kicking with his left. And there are a bunch of things that, when I reread the chapter looking for them, I saw. But I was like, I don't actually know that I think this is what's going on. But I do agree it's suspicious that Oda has twice mentioned that absinthe causes hallucinations.
Yep.
That is clearly information he wants us to be thinking about.
Yeah, which is interesting. So maybe that is something going on, or...
Yeah, I don't think so, but I do... It's definitely been pointed out in the story, so I understand why people are looking for...
Well, now... So it could still be that they are split up, they are in Elbath, but they're having hallucinations still...
Like, on top, like everything has happened, but they are hallucinating also.
Yeah, like maybe the monsters aren't as, like Nami is seeing these terrifying monsters, but they're really not as scary kind of thing. They're just like regular forest animals. They're just huge because it's Elbath kind of thing.
And the biggest, I don't want to say flaw in this theory, but the first page is clearly an objective one, right? Where we see the giants talking about like, oh man, who killed that giant bunny god? I can't believe anyone would do that.
Yeah, yeah. So that's, I think that's, because remember also they have the bit where like they defeat the lion and then like turns into a cat or whatever. They're like, that's weird.
Yeah.
That has me thinking maybe this is a.
That they are all drunk hallucinating.
Yeah.
But everything is happening. It's just
it's
not quite as
not,
we see it.
Yeah. They're not having a, she's not having a coma dream. They're instead like, they're just tripping.
Yes. Everything is happening, but not necessarily everything is as she sees it. But Luffy and Zoro are there.
Yep.
There are also people saying that they thought Zoro and Sanji were acting out of character, which I don't really buy.
I definitely don't buy for Sanji.
It's more of, apparently Sanji has a fear of insects that's been established before, and so people thought it was weird how he was treating the bees. I didn't really see this, but...
I guess.
I thought that in particular was a big stretch.
Yeah, especially because the big thing he was going on was about how nutritious the honey is.
Yes.
Not
the original translation I read did not specify the honey specifically, but I didn't even see that as an inconsistency.
Yeah, neither did I, because he just mentioned nutrition, so that's it had me thinking about the honey.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, okay, yeah, he's thinking about, you know, like, you idiot, we could have been eating honey.
And the thing on Zoro was like, yeah, but he's like, wants to find the ship. But we all know Zoro is terrible at directions. But it's like, yeah, but Zoro isn't terrible at, like, wanting to find things. He's yeah, just that, terrible at actually finding them.
Yeah, I was like, that's definitely not out of character at all. Zoro constantly wants to go, like, that's one of the things that makes them always worry, is not the fact that he's apathetic to finding things. It's that it's, don't worry, guys, I got this. And then everyone else goes, no, you don't, fucking idiot.
Yeah, like I said, I think it's a stretch, but I also agree. He has mentioned it twice over two chapters. There has to be something, whether it is going on now, or even if it's a weird thing where the other half of the cast is the one that's actually hallucinating in some way, and that's why they don't know how they got vanished or something.
Yep.
Like, it's definitely a Chekhov's gun of some sort.
Yes.
Anything else you want to say about the chapter? Next, we have Ichi the Witch, Third Hunt, Raikou Magic. This is a weird chapter to me, because I talked a bit when we were starting this podcast about the clear sort of formula I saw in Jump starting series in the late 90s and early 2000s.
Yep.
Of like big long chapter that's kind of like a one shot, then second smaller chapter that's sort of like, and this is what the series is. Many of those second chapters end up not mattering in the long run and feeling really weird in hindsight.
Yeah.
This felt like a second chapter from that era of Jump in a way that the second chapter of this series really doesn't.
Fair.
And like, it's very mission statement. It's very, there is an antagonist for this chapter and this chapter only.
Yep.
I didn't necessarily think it was bad, but that just really struck me that we're doing this in chapter 3 as opposed to chapter 2. And at the end, we start to move along.
Yeah, that's fair. But, you know, we're evolving. Chapter 3 is the new chapter 2, man.
But even like that chapter 2 thing has sort of vanished in modern times. And so like it also struck me as sort of old fashioned, but also it's in the third chapter. And it was just very odd, right? This seems like a mission statement chapter in a way the first chapter should be in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. Or like reiterating what the deal is. It just makes the second chapter, I think, mostly stick out as odd to me. It feels like that should have been the end of the first chapter, because they're still kind of establishing world stuff and what the character's weird relationship is in the world in that chapter. Did you have any thoughts on the chapter?
I liked it. I like Ichi being like, all right, then we're gonna eat it, right? No. We're gonna at least skin it, right? No! Like, even the little demon on his shoulder is like, man, you're cold. He's like, he was trying to murder humans, and hunters utilize every part of the animal, so I'm like, what do you mean I'm cold?
The contrast is interesting. We'll see where we are. I still don't like either of the main characters is my big issue in the series. Fair. Hopefully, when we get some other characters around them, that will change. We'll see in the next chapter.
Yep.
That takes us to Shinobi Undercover Chapter 2, Yodaka's Work, which, like, sure is a Chapter 2 of this series, and I don't know that I have anything else to say about it. More traditional in the chapter 2 sense.
Yes.
In that way. It feels like a continuation, so I guess that's nice, but there not really anything was added to the series, right?
No. I guess the only thing I started thinking about was, I mean, there's a lot of homage / copycat of I'm the super ninja. You know, I was getting really big Kyoshi vibes. Again, it's not a trope, or it's a very big trope of the socially awkward guy who's actually extremely competent in his job. And then this time was like, hey, Sakamoto Days is doing well. How about I be Sakamoto, where I use everyday objects as my...
Yeah, I mean, weirdly, I just, like I said in the first chapter, just don't think there's anything really original going on here. Because the weird thought I had, and only because, you know, Viz, on the website at least, at the bottom, be like, hey, we think you'd like this. And Protect Me Shigemaru came up. Today, I don't know if it was after I was reading this or before, but it was when I was thinking about this. I'm like, this is actually just the serious version of Protect Me Shikamaru. Nothing else is different about it except tone. And that was a parody of this sort of thing. So,
I'm not saying that they're, you know, clearly ripping it off, but when he was like, yeah, I use everyday, you know, I use whatever I can find around me to complete my mission, I'm like, oh, so like the cool thing that Sakamoto does where he uses everyday objects as part of his assassination things?
I do think there's more of an angle on that when you're in a high school, when you are marketing this show, this series to high schoolers,
and,
right?
Yeah, and that's why I also didn't want to be like, oh, he's clearly copying that thing, but I definitely had that's clearly also his thing. I'm not saying you're copying him directly, because again, it's a trope that's fairly common to you, like improvised weapons is a big thing.
Yeah, it's just like I said, this is nothing original to bite onto here.
Yeah.
All shonen manga since Dragon Ball is riffing on Dragon Ball, right?
Yeah.
But One Piece has way more inventive powers than it, right?
Yep.
And Naruto, and like Hunter x Hunter has this whole power system, and Naruto has a bunch of stuff going on and better character development stuff.
Yep.
This doesn't really have anything.
Yeah.
That you can say like, oh yeah, that's the thing that it's got.
Yeah. Oh, okay. They're improving it in this way.
Which will take us on to Kagurabachi Chapter 50, Interception. Which I thought was also kind of a weird chapter.
Yeah. It's a weird place to have this chapter.
I get it, because like, we're preserving tension for the fight that's going on elsewhere. We're focusing on some of the small characters. We're introducing this new badass. It seems very quick on the tails of introducing the last swordsman, but they are kind of a group, so I get wanting to kind of go through them quickly.
Yeah.
But it seems like the last swordsman should have gotten a cool moment before we give this guy his badass thing, right?
Yeah, and that's fair. I mean, I guess we sort of had the... Like, I guess part of the problem that they've set up with these swordsmen being cool is they don't have the swords that make them cool.
Yeah, and they're doing the thing where both of these guys with just regular swords are already really impressive.
Yeah.
And I get why they want to do that, but it does kind of rob the tension of, like, once they get their swords, what's going to stop them?
Yeah, that's fair.
But right now we have the classic Goku moment, only instead of Goku showing up, it's the swords, and they've got to last long enough for the teleporter guy to get his power back so he can teleport the swords to them. Yep. I get the setup and why it's exciting, but
yeah.
It just feels, just like I said, just a little off in the way Kagurabachi often does to me.
Mm-hmm.
It's why I was like, man, this guy is clearly so talented. I just want Kagurabachi to get canceled for him to learn all his lessons, which isn't going to happen.
Yep.
I said I was going to stop saying that. I have to keep my promises. That'll take us into Sakamoto Days, Days 183, Joe Shackles, which I thought was fine, and I don't really have anything else to say about it.
I really liked the ending bit with the, you know, he's Shin's chained up to the wall, but he, like, causes, it's like a Rube Goldberg machine of people falling over to make a bunch of crates fall on the main bad guy, with him just going, what the hell did you do? What do you mean? I'm chained up to the wall.
It was just a little silly for me. Not like, oh man, this is too silly for Sakamoto Days.
Yeah.
But just for like the tension of the situation they were in, the solution was a little silly.
That's fair. I liked that. And I also kind of liked the, oh yeah, this guy was like really close to being in the order and all this stuff. And they're like, why the hell is he a prison guard then? I thought that was a interesting bit of lore as well.
Next up, we have Blue Box number 165, The Haunted House. I thought this chapter was really good. I don't I have anything more to say about it.
I also really enjoyed it. I thought it was very cute. I like the stuff between, I gotta go back to calling her Rhythmic Gymnastic Girl, and is Kay, is that the...
And Young Badminton Boy?
Yes, the secondary love triangle that's happening now. Now that...
It's not really a triangle.
No. Well,
that one is very much not a triangle.
Yes, that's true. But I was like, well, actually, because we, like, the first love triangle closed, so now we're opening, like, the other bits of the love web are coming together in weird ways.
Yeah. Relationships is complicated.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, more than that, I really like what I would consider the secondary love triangle stuff that's going on in this chapter. Especially that it was like, oh no, you look better normally. You look like your sister like that. But then the other guy's like, oh, you look cute no matter what. She's like, aw.
Oh, that's what I was thinking of.
Oh.
I know there was the...
Yeah, the Rhythmic Gymnastic Girl isn't involved in that.
No, she's not. I was mixing up my characters. This is Manager Girl and the secondary love quadrangle that she's in, because she's into Kay, but he seems to be into this other... Or this other girl seems to be into him.
Yes, but every boy is into her. So.
Yes.
Yeah, I really liked it.
Mm-hmm.
Next up is Mission Yozakura Family, Mission 243, Taiyo versus Asa, which was, like, fine.
Yeah, it was.
I found the, like, pivotal moment in the fight to be really hard to read.
Yeah.
I was like, what's going on? Okay, like, three panels later, he got stopped. I get it, but... In the moment, it wasn't like, oh man, he was so close and he fully stopped. I was just like, what's going on here? Before the reveal that he was stopped later. It read really weird to me.
Yeah, I'm interested to see more because there's clearly like some background plan going on.
Yeah, like, but then we get a flashback. They're like, yes. Oh, oh man, this is double all according to plan. Mm-hmm. I just didn't.
All right, guys, I have a stupid plan. And, you know, it's like him convincing them, all right, I guess we'll go with your dumb plan.
Yep. Next up is Akanabanashi Story 127, Impossible Task. I also just kind of thought this one was okay, if I'm being honest.
It's fair.
It's real slow. I think it's a thing where I don't really like the supporting cast in Akanabanashi is a thing I'm realizing. I like her two rivals a lot,
mm-hmm.
but the like house she's part of is just like, eh, like there are other characters, sure.
Yeah.
I don't really know that I need them all.
Yeah, that's fair. I'm like, I get that with the... It's not that you don't like them as characters. It's just like, oh, they're just kind of there.
Yeah.
It's nothing really hooking me on them.
I'm not excited to have an arc for any of them.
Yes.
Last but not least is Undead Unluck number 223, Ragnarok, which felt just like more of the last chapter to me, but like without the reveal of what's going on.
That's fair.
And it seems like we're really rushed to the ending, which is like, I know they want me to feel overwhelmed, but like, I've talked about this with Undead Unluck a lot. Whenever we transition to something unexpected, it just feels weird to me and not exciting.
That's fair. I just kind of appreciated the, you know, ah, damn, these guys are really into it. And Ragnarok has started. Wait, we're actually, like, and even the 10 rules are like, wait, you're even skipping us doing shit? Yeah, they're going to fight God now. But like, I wanted to kick their butts. Like, no, you failed.
Yeah, we'll see. It could be more exciting, but like I said, I feel like we were already on this trajectory, and then we just took a whole chapter to be like, yeah, it's still going.
That's fair.
Anything else you want to say about anything we talked about?
Nope.
That takes us into Jump Card. Jump Card is the segment where we rank everything in Shonen Jump, not just what we talk about every week. 21 whole chapters this week. What do you have at number 21, Kevin?
That's actually where I have Kill Blue.
Okay. You did. I thought Kill Blue was fine-ish this week.
The martial arts content in there really took it out for me.
Okay, I'm not a martial arts man.
Yeah. Them trying to explain what a counter is and me going like, that's not how that works at all. You know, oh, it's actually a fast series of blows. No, it's actually an exchange of counters constantly. Like, you ever see karate, it's not, I'm just going to throw enough kicks at them and hope one of them lands. It's, he throws a kick, I counter that kick, he counters my counter, I counter his counter, and whoever wins that chess game is the one who lands the hit. Not this nonsense of, you know, I've decided to focus only on countering. Like, yeah, the counter-only strategy also doesn't work.
It hasn't even watched any fighting games.
Yeah, just like so that really pulled me out of the whole chapter. Not that besides that, everything else in the chapter was fine, but that was just like I did not like that.
I have Nue's at 21.
Fair.
I read Nue's last because I missed it. I just didn't click on it for whatever reason.
Oh, gotcha.
I'm like 20. That's full. I feel like I missed something, and then I looked at it, I'm like, I didn't read Nue's. And I think that might have affected it, but it's a long, wordy Nue's chapter that I didn't care about, so
yeah.
I don't really think I would have put it higher.
That's okay. That's fair.
What do you have at number 20?
That's right, me and Robico. I don't know, this just seemed, like, very contrived.
Yeah.
Even for me and Robico, so I didn't like it.
I have Witch Watch at 20, just because it seemed really long and really wordy, and none of the jokes landed for me at all about the absurd situation she was in.
Yeah, there's definitely, like, it's not just like, oh, this is kind of quirky, you know, like, oh, we're doing this. I'm like, don't you have, like, a producer or somebody, like, you should immediately be complaining to somebody. Oh, we don't have a script. Hey, stop going off script. You literally told me we don't have one. Well, we don't want your honest reactions. We want your semi-honest reactions. Well, then tell me what you want me to say. Like,
yeah, it seemed too contrived, like you said.
Yeah.
What do you have at 19?
19 is where I put Super Psychic Policeman Chojo.
it really got me this week.
That's
like,
fair.
From the beginning, if there's just a gorilla in there, and like, what do you think about this? Like, every time I did that joke, like, you can see the gorilla sweating, like, they're onto it, too. And then, like, the twist where she comes in, like, there are two of her, and they look nothing. All of it was, it kept getting me, Kevin.
That's fair. It didn't get me, but I understand it.
90s where I put Me and Robico.
Gotcha.
I agree with you, but I like that Me and Robico will sprinkle in a little horror story every once in a while. I think that helps with the like humor vibe, so.
Yeah, it just this one didn't.
I didn't think it was great. Look, it's two from the bottom, but I did appreciate that at least. What do you have at 18?
18 is where I put Yo-Kai Buster.
This one also got me. Not as much as Super Psychic Policeman, but. I'll talk about it probably when I get to it. I have Ultimate Exorcist Kiyoshi here.
Okay.
Just because, like, it just is more tuning exam stuff. But
it
again,
is,
there's just, like, none of this is super interesting. The two hyper-competent characters are being hyper-competent. But there's nothing I'm like, oh, man, that's cool.
I had one thing that I was like, oh, that's actually pretty cool. I have New Ways at 17. It was just, meh.
That's where I put Shinobi Undercover.
Gotcha.
Like we talked about, just nothing original going on in there.
Mm-hmm.
What do you have at 16?
That's where I have Witch Watch. It's just very weird.
It's where I have Yo-Kai Buster, because like I said, it did get me, but I wasn't like, oh man, this is great.
Mm-hmm.
There's just my house has always been edible. It's like, then there must be bugs all over it. There are no bugs. Well, then you must have used so many pesticides.
That I shouldn't eat this. You can totally eat it.
And then the end where it's like, oh, was the witch scary? No, man, Gretel was horrified. And like, we could just push the witch into an oven. Are your family a Yakuza? No. So it's just you then.
Yeah, it's just like, so you just want to murder this woman that you met in the woods?
Yeah.
I did also like the bit where she was like, you stupid kids, you ate my candy house. And he's like, I didn't eat any of the candy, only she did.
Yeah.
And then he's the one who ends up in the cage. And he's like, why? You were the one who ate all of the candy.
Yeah.
Seriously, how are you okay? Why would you eat that candy?
Yeah. Where are we at? 15? 15. You got 15.
15 is where I have Astro Royale.
Same. I kind of like the twist at the end.
Kind of interesting.
But yeah, but then it still got down here.
Yep. It's like, okay, this at least has the, maybe this could be cool. Because like, I was sort of wondering where Astro Royale was going.
I don't know. I also don't super, it's not like, you know, like, oh, I have no idea where this could go. It's more of a, like, I don't care about this series enough to think about it. And I like that we're, instead of introducing more characters, we are deepening stuff with
that
characters
is nice.
We already have. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a good sign for it.
Yeah.
What do you have at 14?
14 is where I have Shinobi Undercover. This is a sure chapter of manga.
It's where I have what you almost said, Jujutsu Kaisen, because the ending of Jujutsu Kaisen will continue until Jujutsu Kaisen ends.
Yep. It's my number 13, because... All right, that was certainly a chapter of a manga.
Yeah, like if Jujutsu Kaisen wasn't about to end, I might have even liked this chapter fairly well. But
yeah, this would be a fine transition into a new arc, but it isn't. So I'm like, what the hell's going on?
I have Undead Unluck at 13.
I just thought of something. So even though they've announced that it's ending in 5 chapters,
what if it didn't?
What if it didn't?
That would be so good. You just have the 6th chapter after Goji Sensei's like, you're just gonna keep going. On the cover.
Yeah, that would actually be so funny. Just continues on. We were like, oh, that's why none of those ending chapters made sense.
Why would you? I still don't.
It's not actually going to happen. But
what do you have at 12, Kevin?
12 is where I put Mission Yozakura.
Me too.
I'm sure it was a chapter. Yep.
You didn't see it because this is an audio medium, but it happened. What do you have at 11?
That's where I have Kagurabachi. I agree. It was very, like, weirdly paced. I get, like, what you said. I sort of get why this chapter is here, but at the same time, I don't get why this chapter is here. Like,
yeah, I think I liked it more than you, despite noticing its weirdness. I have it much higher anyway. 11's where I put Kill Blue.
Gotcha.
Thought the martial arts drawing was cool, was not too bothered by the dumb explanation.
That's fair.
What do you have at 10?
10 is where I have Ultimate Exorcist. I liked the other rival, his ability being a water pistol. He's like, yeah, I just, you know, I infuse holy water into this pistol and shoot things with it. I'm like, that's actually kind of a neat idea.
I think that's fine, but like I wasn't like, oh man, that's so cool. And I think it's a good power for a character.
No, yeah,
but it's not like he did something cool with it. He just explained it.
That is what he did, but it's up here for me because a bunch of the stuff underneath, I was kind of like, I didn't really like this, or I guess that existed, so this did better than exist for me.
Tenzer, I have Super Psychic Policeman Chojo. Like, gotcha. I said, every gorilla joke, I was like, ah, yeah, that is, like, because it's drawn, like, not photorealistic as a gorilla. But,
no.
Like,
it's drawn way more realistically than any of the other characters.
And, like, so clearly a gorilla in a yes. cartoon way. And then, like, they just call her that and be like, oh, we can't. Also, it was so funny to me. It wasn't just Chojo. Like, if it was just Chojo, I might have, like, rolled my eyes a bit. But the fact that Cop-Bot also cannot tell the difference. Like, mm-hmm. I almost wanted more and more characters to show up and then them also not be able.
That could,
like,
have been really funny.
Call everybody and they're,
yeah,
like,
they're
oh.
both, they're both here. They call everybody. Can you tell which one is the real one? All of them going like, no, they look identical.
What do you have at number 9?
9 is where I have Ichi the Witch. Like I said, I liked it. I thought it was, I liked the hunting bit.
9's where I have Akanabanashi.
Okay.
I talked about it, I just didn't.
Fair.
Didn't care for the chapter much. What do you have at 8?
8 is where I have Hakutaku. Yeah.
I was that's what it's called.
I was like, am I reading? Yeah. Hakutaku. I'm interested to see where this goes. I think it'd be pretty cool to get a manga about a game dev. I kind of like, I tend to like the artsy.
They're either great or they're nothing.
That is totally fair. So I'm hoping
at least
this
first
good.
Chapter was good. So yeah. Like, that gives me hope.
Yep. I've got good hope. I tend to like these. So we'll see where it goes.
8 is where I have Ichi the Witch.
Gotcha.
Not too much higher than you. What do you have at 7?
7 is where I have the Elusive Samurai. You know, we're just kind of continuing on with, all right, cool. Now we're going to have this battle at sea between the god-touched people.
I really like the last splash page, and I think that's why I have it
yeah, that's
higher.
Fair.
I have Sakamoto Days at 7.
Gotcha.
I talked about not thinking the ending was quite
mm-hmm.
correct tone-wise, but I did like the chapter.
Fair.
What do you have at number 6?
6 is where I have Akanabanashi. Yeah, it's. I thought this was kind of neat. I did like the bit where he was like, let me guess. Then he gave you some impossible task. Yep. Well, he did that for everybody, and they all list all of those off, and he's like, it might seem impossible, but he wouldn't actually give you an impossible task. He would only give you something that he thinks you can complete.
I have Kagurabachi at 6.
Okay.
What do you have at number 5?
5 is where I put Undead and Unluck. Like I said, it's kind of weird to just be at the end here, but I liked it.
It's where I put Elusive Samurai.
Gotcha. So
what do you have at number 4?
4 is where I put Sakamoto Days. I liked that ending bit.
That's where I put Hakutaku. Like gotcha. I said, by far my favorite of the first chapters we've gotten mm-hmm. this batch. What do you have at number 3?
3 is where I put Blue Box, actually.
Okay.
I did struggle with the top 3. I really liked Blue Box, though. I thought it was all very cute. I do like the, we didn't talk about it at all, but I like the bit where Taiki has the axe and blood running down his head, and he, like, scares the person that is
Chiyo
with
is
Chiyo.
With.
Is with, and she's like,
when
we hang out, you should still look like that. He's like, she, you know, she's like, it'll be hilarious. And I like that his one classmate is like, you're gonna go around, you know, the festival with your girlfriend, and he's holding another axe. Like, there's already an axe in Taiki's head, and he's like, I'm gonna stick another one in there.
Yeah,
I thought it was good.
3 is where I have Hime 10.
Okay.
I really like the start of the chapter and the end of the chapter. Not mm-hmm. that the middle of the chapter is bad at all,
mm-hmm.
but that is when I was thinking about my top 3, that is why it is at the bottom
gotcha.
Of my top 3.
That's fair.
Although I love at the end where she's like, hey, remember that guy I told you was kind of my type? He's like cleaning your house and he looks really hot in this like sort of maid outfit he's in.
Yep. He's like, he's looking. And then I love that she like, show like, you know, is like live streaming and, or is like face calling.
Yeah.
And she's like, what's going on here? It's my number 2. I also really liked Hime 10. I just kind of liked that, you know, all right, cool. Now we have this additional girl who's into the cute cleaner man who does all of the household chores.
It's way better as a love triangle, I think, because, like, while the obvious thing would be for, you know, there's already kind of an obvious love triangle in place.
Yes.
But she is trying to get the other two together. So it's kind of funny to me if, like, more and more girls are into him and she is just trying to get the original two
together.
The more girls you add into that, the better the dynamic actually becomes weird way.
Which is why I really like it. Like, while she's also fighting her feelings of, I actually really like this guy too, but like...
but as a brother employee.
Well, no, and I think that would also be a nice thing for...
It certainly can be. It's certainly an extra angle of conflict.
People can be friends. Like, you can like somebody and not necessarily want to date them, especially if you're like, hey, these two actually really like each other. You know, like, I'm trying to be a good wingman.
Yeah.
From a bro.
Did you say it was your number two?
It was my number two, yep.
I have One Piece at number two.
Gotcha.
It was just a little slow. And I espoused why that was good when we talked about it. It is what put it at number two for me.
That is fair. I really liked it this week. I thought it was very neat. So.
And I have Blue Box at number one.
Gotcha.
Anything else you want to say about Shonen Jump?
Nope.
All right. We read iShield 21, Volume 2, and we'll be back to talk about that after a little break. All right, so after 10,000 years, we read the second volume of iShield 21.
Yep.
I feel like it's been longer than between D. Gray Man.
I think it has.
But I remembered more of what happened in iShield 21.
That's
for sure.
I think a lot of that is we both liked iShield 21 a lot more.
Yeah. What did you think of Volume 2, Kevin?
I like Volume 2. You know, it was reminding me of the kind of silly, cartoony style of, you know, like, the one character is, like, pulling out guns and stuff like that, and the center is, like, just this huge hulking dumpling of a man.
I did forget how cartoony it was going in, and I do think that plays to its strength. Like, there's even the bit where he's imagining all of his linemen as literal shields.
Yes. And he's like, oh, these cleats, now that I'm not in, like, tennis shoes and I have cleats, this is like armor, and I learned how to hold the ball like a gauntlet. So he's like, you know, I do kind of like that. And I like how they, you know, they have him try and do a bench press and then immediately start introducing other people with what they bench as like a power metric, which I thought was funny.
Yeah. I had a point I was going to transition to and I lost it. I think that cartoony style really, really helps it because I think without it, it's kind of just another sports manga.
Yeah.
Because we are talking a lot this week about Shinobi Undercover and how it's got nothing original. And there is so much slam dunk in iShield 21.
Yeah.
Like, when the female lead is like, oh, can I be your manager then? And my little note is, well, it works in every other sports manga, so...
Yep.
That's what the love interest does, is she bees the manager.
Yes.
So, yes. We have a cardboard cutout slot for you right here. We'll put you right in that, and we're good.
Yeah. But I also like the fact that the demon character, because I can't remember anybody's name... is like, haha, now I have two different, you know, now I've gotten two more people to come for the club.
Yeah. He's a great character.
Yes.
Because of how cartoonish he is, and his bat motif vampire thing is very good. I kind of wonder if Bartolomeo is visually based on him.
Maybe a little bit. I could see that.
There's a lot of similar DNA in there, I feel like. And there might be a common ancestor they both have, because they both kind of have the vampire motif that I am not aware of.
Well, Telemeo also kind of reads like an orc as well, because if I remember correctly, his is mostly his lower jaw's teeth that come out, and that tends to read as orc to me, because it's like warthogs where they have the tusks come from the bottom rather than from the top.
Yeah, I can see that. Less bat.
Less bat, more warthog or orc, as I, you know, like... They tend to have developed underjaws, again, because it's that kind of warthog thing, which I don't know biologically why that is. Because, like, well, you know, you think about, like, cats and stuff like that have top fangs versus, like, elephants and warthogs and stuff have tusks. And I just wonder why they would develop, like, physically, why would they develop that way? Like, what is the benefit of having your tusks come from underneath? Because... it's not for biting, unlike fangs. So that just popped into my head as we were talking about this.
Back to iShield 21. Like I said, it's very sports manga. And it's especially sports manga for a sport it doesn't expect its audience to know, which is kind of funny.
Yeah.
I talked about how I had all these translators notes of, like, I think this is what it says. I don't know. I don't know anything about football.
Yeah.
Which was very funny to me because it's explaining a whole bunch of American football rules. And you have to do that for a manga. Haikyuu does it as well with volleyball. Obviously, but I don't really know volleyball, and I'm an American, so I know American football. It has mm-hmm. been pounded into my brain whether yep. I wanted it to be or not. I understand it on a level more, probably not more complex than this manga gets, but than where it is right now, yep. and it's introducing concepts and such. Whereas like here, we're talking about the idea of a turnover. And I'm curious, did your translation use the phrase turnover?
For the interception, or?
Ever, in the entirety of it.
I don't think so.
Okay. Because I had some translator notes of like, I think the term here is turnover, but I don't know. And I wasn't sure if that was a translation, because it was always, and then the offense and the defense will switch, which is so clunky as a way to
yeah.
say it. And I was not sure if that was the translator's unfamiliarity or...
I was honestly
inelegance of the Japanese language.
I was honestly so the because I think it he does actually mention then the offense and defense will switch, but I read that not as a like I read that as purposely clunky, like
because well the first time it happened I did as well because
yeah.
he's explaining how football works.
Yeah,
he's like you have four attempts and then after that it switches, but they used it like every time, like the interception mm-hmm. and. The score every time it happened, and it started to feel very clunky. So I
yeah, that does feel clunky.
There's a reason we invented the phrase turnover, mm-hmm. right, to explain what was going on in a football game.
Yeah, but no, I didn't notice anything weird like that. My version did not have a bunch of editor's notes about the various football things. But again, I played football, so of course I understand the rules very well.
Yeah. Like I said, this is for an audience that may or may not understand the rules. And even if they've watched a football game...
More than likely don't understand the intricacies of a lot of the things.
Some of the basics, they just like... They might know it's four downs and then you switch. But they might not even know. They might have never seen a drive that didn't end in a punt or a score, right?
Yeah. Well, and they also might not have known it was 10 yards or whatever that you needed.
Yeah, because there's the thing in there where they translate that to meters, which is for other cultures, I bet.
Yeah.
Kind of a big deal. I feel like, even in American culture, I feel like yards are only for football.
Yeah, I don't really...
Like, we use miles as a real measurement that you have to
yes.
translate the kilometers outside. But I can't think of a time I've ever had to think about yards that wasn't, I have a yardstick in my hand,
or
football. I'm watching yep. football.
Yeah, no, that would... that's really...
I guess World of Warcraft uses ranges in yards, but like
golf.
That's...
Golf, I think, does ranges in yards.
Okay. But, like, again, that's just a sport.
But you're right. I had to think on that hard, and I was like,
yards
no, wait.
Don't usually come up.
Yards do not usually come up. It's one of those things.
Like, you could probably convince somebody it is a measurement made up for American football, I think.
You probably easily could, because it's in the weird spot of most of the time I don't have to talk about distances long enough that feet is clunky, and... short enough that I can't use a mile.
Yeah. It's very unusual.
It's a very weird thing. So it's football because everything's done in yards for some reason. And then
I feel like we should just change it to percent.
Yeah. Golf.
They're 50% away from the goal here, 12% from the first down. Yeah.
I'd be fine with that. But golf makes a bit more sense because that actually is at the weird ranges where it's like, it'd be kind of weird, like, just, you know, you're always talking about, like, oh, that was a 400-yard drive, just like, that was a 1,200-foot drive. Like, the numbers just start getting a little too big to be silly, but none of the distances are long enough that you need miles. Like, it'd be weird, you know, oh, he's got a half-a-mile shot or whatever. Like, that also feels clunky. So, golf yards make sense from a distance standpoint. Football is just like, we cut, like, most of the, what seems like the American measurement system is. I don't know what to call it now, because I think we're the only ones who still use it.
I think it's still called the imperial system of measurements, even though we're not part of the empire.
I know, anyway, it seems like they just decided, we're going to use yards for football. Why? Because we're not using them for anything else.
Maybe yards were more common then.
Who knows?
But yeah, I think there's a lot of good in this manga. I mm-hmm. actually really like that the team is so small that all the players have to play offense and defense.
Yeah, well, it's basically just the three guys plus
It's basically just three guys and a bunch of extras. And
yes.
I know as iShield 21 goes on, we add more characters.
Yes.
And they have more that are also defined in like where they play and where mm-hmm. they are. So that makes sense to me. But I like that as an economy of character thing, because it is, I think, a problem with telling a story with football.
Yeah, because like a traditional football team, I think, is 44 people, and that's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot of characters. And you could certainly have a protagonist on offense and a deuteragonist on defense.
Yeah.
But I think it works better when the main character is the running back cornerback.
Yeah. We've got the quarterback, the center, and the running back. And then they mentioned we need a kicker, so that he's probably going to be the next character that they add. Having a linebacker, like we have for the White Knights, this guy's the best linebacker that even the pros are scouting for, kind of thing. But that's a thing that makes sense to me, of having a linebacker as a main character.
And I know the series ends with an international tournament where it's just a bunch of characters from other teams that they've faced, and they're all on the Japanese high school team.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the way they recruit to. I don't know how far in that starts, though. Like, I don't know if that's the last 100 chapters or like the last half of the manga or what, but that's also a way they get a bunch in.
But yeah, that also lends itself to introducing antagonists, or if they're building to this kind of international team across all these people that they play. So it's like, all right, so we have, you know, now against the White Knights, we have the linebacker. It's like our team, you know, the Devil Bats doesn't have a linebacker, so we're introducing a linebacker. Then we can introduce a wide receiver. Then we can introduce a tackle or some, you know, like we can start introducing a couple more people on the line.
I severely doubt a tackle is ever going to feature as an important character in this manga. I could be wrong.
I could see it.
It's just not a sexy narrative position.
It's
right?
not. Well, it sort of is.
Like, if you want to do it, you can find an angle, right? But it's a lot. Like, a second wide receiver is more interesting because there's immediately tension between the two, right?
Yes.
And talk about targets, and that just opens up a lot more
mm-hmm.
stuff.
The ones I would think that you would never see would be the guards.
Yeah. Even more than tackles, the guards for sure.
Yeah, the guard, like, and I actually do like that they point out how important the line is, because that's a thing a lot of people tend to overlook. But at the same time, from a narrative standpoint, it's like, we have the center. He can basically just be the line. I know he's not the entire line, but he can be the line.
Narratively speaking, he is, right?
Yes.
We only need one character there.
Correct.
And he can be, because of the offense-defense thing, he can be both lines.
Yep.
Which is even more economy.
It could be. And then if they want to add in a defensive dude to be the defensive line, that also works.
Yes, you can add that later for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Linebacker is a sexier defense position.
Linebacker is definitely a sexier defense position, but you can make defensive line, you can get some really good stuff where it's like if you get some dude who's really good at sacks.
Yes.
Because typically it's actually it's still usually the
linebackers.
I feel
like in modern NFL, it's really the linebackers who are usually.
It usually is the linebackers who are getting sacks. And again, that's come down to if your offensive line and defensive line are good, they kind of cancel each other out almost.
Anything else you want to say about iShield 21? We didn't talk about most of the actual events in this, but it's just kind of another football game starts and they play it.
Mm-hmm.
There's some stuff I think probably influence Haikyuu in some of the stuff we're getting with the two characters on the opposing team. The linebacker we talked about a bunch, mm-hmm. but also the wide receiver on the other team, who has sponsors and is clearly conflicted about it. And I think building
also
to an international team is a real good way to leverage the time investment you put into talking about characters on other teams.
Yes. I do also want to talk about he's the sexy wide receiver guy, and I really love the female news people that are watching the game who are like they're clearly just fangirling for this kid, which is honestly kind of creepy because they're adults and he's, you know, in high school. But, you know, like, oh, he should be doing everything. Oh, yeah, it's his team. He's the one. And then, like, I like that the one of the other teams who's there to scout Shin to get video of him is like, man, these idiots don't understand that guy actually kind of sucks.
Like, his quarterback is more important than him on offense. He's managing the game and actually doing stuff. And their offense is not where they're at. That coach is practically Bill Belichick. His first line is defense wins championships. It's all that matters.
Yep. So I like that because it's like, not only is he not important, he's not even that great of a wide receiver. Like, he's the pretty one. And so he's got the sponsors and he's got the thing. So it's just very funny seeing clearly it's, you know, like, I love the Devil Bats get that first touchdown. They're like, did they lose? Because it's like a bunch of people that don't know what the hell is going on.
That's also for audience surrogacy.
It is, but it's very funny to me of having all of these girls show up to this football game and like having no clue what the fuck is going on. They're like, we're just here to see the pretty one.
Anything else you want to say about iShield 21, Kevin?
One more last bit that I really liked was the opposing defensive lineman, the giant gorilla man. I do like the bit where the coach is like, you know, hey, you're stupid. Stop overthinking it and just smash. And he goes, oh, yeah. Like, he starts doing way better.
That's, again, a very cartoony thing this manga has going that I think is to its benefit.
Yes, but I wouldn't have phrased it that way, but I do kind of like the coach being like, dude, stop overthinking. Just tackle the guy with the ball. Okay. Like, you know, you're trying to come up with plans, and that's not you, man. You're the big guy. Just hit them harder. Oh, all right.
All right. Next week, we are going to go back to Haikyuu, speaking of that, to read Volume 41. We are almost done with Haikyuu, and we'll have to figure out what we're doing after that.
Yeah.
Until then, our opening theme is Fighting Against One's Will by Midair Machine. Our closing theme is A Psychic Fistfight by Tom W. Emmerich. Other music on the show is by Spectacular Sound Productions, and our album art is by Kate Wind on DeviantArt. www.lastpodcast.com is our website, where you can check out my other podcasts, It's a Gundam and Last Time on Video Games. Is there anything you'd like to plug, Kevin?
Nope.
Have a great week, everyone. Gotta stop.